This is your Polycast for Tuesday, April 8th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, more on that deal to raise the minimum wage, and a new Senate office building takes a major step forward. DFL leaders in the Minnesota House and Senate have reached a deal to raise the state's minimum wage to $9.50 an hour and to allow for future inflationary increases. The agreement announced yesterday resolves one of the big remaining issues of the legislative session and gives House Democrats a key accomplishment to run on this fall. But Republicans and business groups are warning about job cuts from the increase. Tim Pugmire has more.
The announced agreement calls for increasing the minimum wage for large employers to $9.50 an hour by 2016. Indexing future increases to inflation would begin in 2018 under the Minnesota Department of Labor and Industry, with an annual cap of 2.5%. DFL House Speaker Paul Thiessen of Minneapolis said the increase will help 350,000 Minnesotans.
We've agreed to do it in a responsible manner so that the wage will increase and not lose its value into the future, so that workers don't fall behind as the cost of living of their groceries and their gas and other basic expenses increase over the years.
Lawmakers passed two conflicting minimum wage bills last year, but time ran out on the 2013 session before they could reach a deal. The House bill was for $9.50 plus indexing. The Senate was for $7.75 without inflationary increases. Early in the negotiations this session, Senate DFL leaders agreed to move to $9.50 but wouldn't budge on their opposition to indexing. DFL Senate Majority Leader Tom Bach of Cook said the breakthrough came when other provisions in the bill helped ease some of the Senate's concerns.
I think we've got a pretty strong provision for small employers largely located on main streets across rural Minnesota. We've got a phase in there up to $7.75 an hour over the three-year period. And also at that rate, we'll maintain our current law with a 90-day training wage at that rate, even for large employers.
Bach also highlighted a provision that allows the Labor and Industry Commissioner to suspend an annual increase in the event of an economic downturn. There would first have to be a public hearing and comment period. DFL Representative Ryan Winkler of Golden Valley, the chief sponsor of last year's House minimum wage bill, said allowing the commissioner to also make up that ground when the economy improves should help keep politics out of such adjustments.
A governor who is interested in using for political purposes a suspension of the minimum wage, I think it gives them pause because they realize they could lose it anyway. So I'm hoping that this is really just focused on when it needs to happen for purely economic reasons.
Republicans opposed the minimum wage increase last session, and their position hasn't changed this year. GOP House Minority Leader Kurt Dowd of Crown said Democrats have been pursuing the wrong approach, and he fears the increase will result in fewer jobs.
Republicans agree that we want Minnesotans at lower and middle income levels to be making more money, but we feel the real answer is to provide more and better job opportunities for those people. And unfortunately, the policies that Democrats are putting in place really are taking Minnesota's economy in the wrong direction, not in the right direction.
Hospitality Minnesota President Dan McElroy said his organization's members don't oppose a minimum wage increase, but that $9.50 was higher than they hoped for. He said the lack of an accommodation for tipped employees could put some of the better paid food serving jobs at risk. But McElroy said he thinks restaurants will adjust to the changes.
We don't expect a huge loss of jobs. We expect some slowing of growth. We expect fewer hours, very honestly. Who pays for it is higher paid employees through wage compression, some of our employees with fewer hours, and then guests through higher prices.
DFL leaders said minimum wage votes are expected later this week. They also insisted that their agreement had no connection to last week's resolution of another lingering issue, the approval of the plans for a new Senate office building. DFL Governor Mark Dayton offered his congratulations to House and Senate leaders. In a written statement, he said he looks forward to signing the legislation. Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
That new office building for the Minnesota Senate is now one court ruling away from becoming a reality. The State Senate Rules Committee approved financing for the proposed $90 million building last night. The vote ends several months of partisan battles that will likely continue through the 2014 campaign. And as we've heard, Republicans question the need for the building, and they say the timing of yesterday's vote is linked to that minimum wage increase. Tom Scheck has more.
After nearly a year of partisan attacks, financing concerns from their House counterparts, and a broadside from Governor Dayton, Senate DFLers finally got approval for the new Senate office building. On an 8-5 party line vote, the Senate Rules Committee approved financing for the $90 million building. The plan relies on $77 million in taxpayer money. Another $13 million in parking fees will pay for the rest of the project. DFL Senate Majority Leader Tom Bach, who has been the biggest backer of the building, said the only thing standing in the way of construction is a pending court challenge.
I believe the design work is going to proceed and has been going on despite the lawsuit. So I do believe once the lawsuit's resolved, the building will be ready for construction.
Bach has been pushing for approval for the building because the renovation of the state capitol will result in less space for senators and staff. The lawsuit was filed by a former state representative who contends the building should not have been included in the 2013 tax bill. A district court judge dismissed the suit, but an appeal is pending. An official with the Department of Administration says construction is slated to start on July 1st. Republicans, who have repeatedly objected to the cost of the building, spent a large part of the hearing questioning the need for it. Republican Senate Minority Leader David Hand says Democrats rammed the financing of the building through without any GOP support.
This is all being driven by the DFL majorities in the House and the Senate and the governor to do this. And I think it just doesn't make any sense why you'd want to do this major restoration and build a new building and do that on a partisan basis. Why you'd want to do that is a mystery to me. But they've always had the votes to do whatever they want to do. Apparently they want to do this.
But Democrats haven't always agreed on the building. House Democrats delayed signing off on the design for several months, questioning the overall cost. That disagreement became public last month when Governor Dayton said Senate Democrats were holding a tax cut bill hostage until House Democrats approved the building. Senate Democrats relented and voted for the tax bill. Now, Republicans are questioning the timing of the building's approval. On Friday, the House Rules Committee approved it after insisting the complex include an office for every senator and added the parking fees to lower the cost to taxpayers. Just 3 days later, House and Senate DFLers announced that they had brokered a deal on a minimum wage increase after a 12-month impasse. That deal increases the minimum wage to $9.50 an hour by 2016 and starts indexing the wage to inflation beginning in 2018. Republican Representative Kurt Zellers of Maple Grove, who is running for governor, said he thinks DFL legislative leaders cut the minimum wage deal only after the House approved the office building.
The problem with what we're seeing here today is the ugly side of politics. Horse trading at the end of session for political favors for political partners on one rule, one party government, at the expense of new workers, border communities, and careers in Minnesota.
DFL legislative leaders say there's no link between the office building and the minimum wage deal. DFL House Speaker Paul Thiessen said House Democrats acted on the building as soon as they got additional information on the project. He also said legislative leaders are working on a number of issues this session and are acting on them as soon as they can agree.
I don't think that's particularly fair to say no. And we knew that we had to get these issues done, and their timing was, they just happened to work out this way.
House Democrats are preparing for an onslaught of criticism over the office building in the coming months. Republicans have already made it a campaign issue, and voters will have to decide whether Dayton and House DFLers will still be in power when the building is completed in 2016. Tom Scheck, Minnesota Public Radio News, at the Capitol.
And that's your Polycast for this Tuesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.